Welcome to episode 229 of Level Up, 60 minutes of live Q&A where your questions drive the show. My name is Stefan and I'm going to be your host today. If you're watching on YouTube, you can find out more about what we do in our channel, so please give this video a like and subscribe to find out more about us. Ella and Blanche are in the social chat, so please let them know your name and the city from where you're joining. They will post a link to vote up the questions that you would most like answered, and of course, to add your own. If your question is selected, your name will appear in the credits at the end of the show, so get yours in early and stay with us to see that happen. Today, we want to dive a bit deeper into the strategies of managing services seamlessly, ensuring client success and navigating the evolving landscape of service-oriented careers. From understanding the insights of effective service delivery to mastering the art of client satisfaction, this episode is your gateway to becoming a proficient service management professional. Sounds interesting? Well, to help us out today, we have a great panel from around the globe, so let's jump in and meet them. Hello, panel. I want to start with Ayodele Amuzani. He's the Chief Knowledge Officer of Tomwind Technologies and has accumulated over 2 decades of experience in various IT domains. With a passion for driving value for stakeholders, Ayo focuses on innovation and process transformation, implementing, auditing, advising, and facilitating knowledge transfer. He has numerous certifications and management system, enjoys working with ISACA's COBIT, and is an ITIL expert. Welcome to the panel, Ayo.
Good morning, all. Thank you.
Next on our panel is Johan Botha. He's a lifelong lean advocate who has built a career on helping organizations change for the better. He describes himself as a digital change provocateur and is using an innovation and business agility method called ADAPT. Johan's focus is practical skills development to enable people to transform organizations and to help them solving problems, growing people, facilitating difficult changes, dreaming, scheming, and most importantly, doing. Johan is joining us from Johannesburg in South Africa. Welcome back, Johan.
Thanks, Stefan. And thanks for inviting me back.
I'm sure you're welcome. Ian Clark is a dynamic, enthusiastic service manager, governance and management practitioner, lecturer, and the director of Fox IT in South Africa. As a business and service-oriented leader, Ian has a wide range of European and African experience within multiple industry sectors, specializing in drastically improving business productivity, profitability, and quality for both the organization and clients. Ian holds a variety of certifications, and he's also a coach, mentor, advisor, and industry-recognized speaker. Welcome to this panel, Ian.
Thanks, Stefan. Thanks for inviting me as well. And hello to my colleagues on the panel and everybody out there. Looking forward to the questions.
Hello. Yeah. Suresh GP is the managing director at Top Solutions, where across the Asia-Pacific region, they build capability in their clients to think and act differently through business relationship management. DevOps and modern service management techniques. A sought-after contributor and thought leader, Suresh was awarded the top BRM by the Institute in 2021 and is joining us from the Garden City of Bangalore in India. Welcome back, Suresh.
Hi, Stefan, and thanks for joining in this elite panel today. And I'm looking forward to some great conversations because a story that began 18 years back, we wanted to unravel what is in store for the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Mart Rovers rejoins today. He's the president at Interprom, where they focus on helping clients adopt leading practice in technologies from service and business relationship management to projects and change. Do check out Interprom's YouTube channel for technology and business interviews. Mart has contributed to several Level Up shows, so hello to Arizona and welcome back, Mart.
Thank you, Stefan. Thank you, APMG, for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to be back on again. I thought we kick it off with a quote from Claire Muscat, who once said, building a customer experience does not happen by accident. It happens by design.
All right. Thanks, Matt. I sometimes thought you're running out of quotes, but Completing our panel today is Dirk Zöhner. He calls himself a solopreneur while he focuses on strengthening people and teams, improving competency and performance with an empathetic approach. Dirk has a lecture assignment at Nord Academy Hamburg and published a reference book, IT Service Management with FITSM. As a frequent panelist on Level Up, he's joining us from Göttingen in Germany today. Welcome back, Dirk.
Hello, Stefan. Hello, dear panelists, and hello, world. Thank you for the upcoming hour of interesting topics, and I'm always happy about the valuable opportunity to exchange ideas and to get inspiration. So the week can start off to an inspiring start.
Thank you, Dirk. Yeah, this is all about questions, and for that, we need a question master. And our question master for this show is Suchitra Jacob, who also joins us from Bangalore in India. Hi, Suchitra. Right, wonderful. And we just start, okay? So can we take the first question, please? So, okay, I see a couple of hands up here. So let's start with Ian, then Johan, Ayo, and Suresh.
Thanks, Stefan. Good question. A thick skin, lots of patience. It's a broad field, but typical generic skills, because the roles are varied in the practice of service management. Certainly, in my opinion, human centricity and people kind of skills are probably the most important. Being able to engage with customers, understand that what they see as value and what they see as success is paramount for any kind of service manager in any role. That's my kind of, from my experience, certainly the case.
All right, thanks. Thanks, Ian. And Johan, what's your view?
Service is about delivering value. So clearly understanding what the value is that your customer is expecting, what the outcomes are. So that means sort of an insight into what they're trying to achieve, their business, the business of the business. We tend to think far too much about what we're doing and rather than thinking why we're doing it.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Thanks. Ayo, may I have your perspective?
Yep. So when it comes to skills and worldly class for service management, one of the things which we need to look at is a collaborative spirit where the participant or the candidate or the person there has to do a lot of collaboration with all the team members. So collaboration is the key thing which you need for service management.
All right. Thank you. And let's hear from Mark then.
Indeed, I was going to say collaboration skills as well. Communication skills to me is also very critical. And that means not just being the talker, but also being a very, very good listener. What is that my audience is looking for? Like was said earlier, the value, you know, how can I offer that value? What is perceived as being of value? That means being a good active listener.
An active listener, yeah. All right, thanks. So then let's close the round with Dirk.
Oh, I want to add some, not want to add something new, summarize all the things said before, and then maybe you cannot learn the typical skills sitting in front of a computer. You have to go outside, you have to go to the business, talk to the people, listen to the people, but not sitting in front of the computer.
All right, thanks. Well, then, I know that the last is Suresh to be on the round. Sorry for that. I missed you.
No worries. So for me, I think the most important part is around the customer experience. So we exist because of our customers. So understanding customer experience is important. The second part is being increasingly curious. When you start your job in service management, you know things are falling as a part of process. So we need to be increasingly curious and challenge the status quo. And number third, the most important part is have a lot of patience. I think you're going to be bombarded with escalations and stuff. You need to have a strong patience to carry on those patterns.
All right, thanks. Now, if I would like to summarize this, what at least one thing you can say, none of the panelists' answers had anything to do with technology. It's all about human skills that we're looking for. So I hope, Henri Dahl, I hope this answered your question sufficiently. And I think we can just move on to the next one, Sajidra. All right, Sandra Smith, I understand that question is for evolving with regards to the evolving changes in the industry. So I don't know who wants to start. Dirk, we start with you and then with Johan.
Okay. You know, what's in it for you, Sandra? A lot of more work and a changing way of work. And I think it's really difficult if you come from an IT department with all the doing all the things on your own, and then you change to provider management, so you have to check and have to communicate, collaborate, and contracting all the things. So a lot of more work and changing way of work, like contracting and checking if the providers do their work in the right way.
All right, thanks, Dirk. And Johan, your view, please.
Now, there's a, I don't know if it's new, but for a time now, there's an area of focus within service management called service integration management. And I think that's a awesome career opportunity, is to learn the skills on how to be the coordinator, how to bring different providers together, how to take efforts from different providers and synthesize it into a positive outcome for your customer. So interesting area to look at.
Yeah, thank you. So we next hear from Suresh.
Yeah, I love that one that Johan said about service integration management. The other one that you want to look at is building true partnerships. The olden days of operational level agreements and underpinning contracts are done and dusted. So how are we building true partnership that we don't call people as providers, we call them as true partners? And that means that we take that extra step to say that beyond our contracts, we have something in common to deliver outcomes. So when we focus on that common purpose and focus this as a partnership, we stand to gain a lot. And we will be amazed by how much we learn from our partner ecosystem.
Yeah, it's indeed not just about contracts. It's even more with that. But one thing you can say is that obviously the times that an IT department has the full autonomy, these days are over. And I can read that in the question as well. Thank you, Suresh. Well, then let's hear from Ian.
Thanks, Stefan. Yeah, I was just going to echo the sentiments of Ian and Suresh and the guys. It's being the integrator is, I think, the opportunity in a multi-provider environment. A new term, XLAs, has started to appear in the industry. And I think, you know, bringing those into the fore with, you know, a more client-focused design thinking kind of mindset is, you know, it is the opportunity, in short, for that particular question.
Okay. Thank you. Let's then hear from Ayo.
Great. So one thing we need to understand here is that we need to look at the activities, the procedures, and the policies guiding this change of scope. And of course, when we look at this, we'll be able to understand the benefits, which we're going to realize, or the outcomes, so to say, in order to deliver a proper value to the customer.
Okay. Thanks, Ayo. And Mart, your view, please.
Great answer so far. And then thank you, Sandra, for a wonderful question. I'd like to throw in the time factor, time as in Forward thinking. I mean, a service manager is supposed to be already looking into the future, or 3-5 years out, as far as, you know, what's my service portfolio going to look like. But if that's even more important when you start depending on others, as far as what they're doing, what is their service strategy? What is your strategy? What is your weakest link at the moment? If you look at your service portfolio, you know, where is it that your customers are taking you, or you want to take them, so to speak. In other words, if forward thinking was already important, it's even more important when you depend on others.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. Very, very good point. Thanks, Mark. Yeah, I think XLAs, that's something to discover. And I think that was, it's probably the point of also being partnerships, building partnerships and understanding what's behind the contract and why is everything fine and green and the customer is completely dissatisfied, right? So, and we're basically, I think we're going here in the right direction on covering these things. Now, I want to have a look at our viewers and visitors and see who's there, and also encourage everybody to raise live questions. They will be preferred. So, introduce yourself, please. And yeah, we have Borislav from Bydgoszcz. I've been there before. I know Bydgoszcz in Poland. So hello, and thanks for joining us. And we also have a LinkedIn user, and I'm sure there are a lot of LinkedIn users who are watching us. And this one is watching us live from Delhi in India. And my colleague, Charlotte Miller, is joining us from the Thames Valley in the UK, United Kingdom. Hello, good to see you. Like I said before, it would be great if you can post your question. Our social team will take care of that and will make sure that your question comes right into this panel and will be answered by our panelists. In the meantime, Sachishwa, if we just please move on to the next question. Oh, that's a good one. And I see all the panel. Everybody was raising hand at the first time. So this time I start with Ayo and followed by Marit.
Okay, so service management is meant for every sector, not just IT, because we're not talking about technology here. We're talking about things that evolve around the business, around public service and private services. So again, service management is meant for all types of business, all sizes of business, and every service that is being delivered across the firm.
Okay, thanks for that. And we hear from Mark now.
Yeah, what a great question. I put a big smile on my face. Thank you, Christina. It's indeed that perception that it was something just for IT. That's why it sometimes referred to as IT service management, but please strip the IT from it, because more than 80% of the industry, the organizations out there are in the service industry, in essence, and they all can benefit from whatever service management's best practices they are out there. They can all benefit from it. It's all about establishing that service culture, in essence. That's the end game, as far as I'm concerned. So is service management just for IT sector? Absolutely no. Can they learn a lot from it? They should. But yes, no, it's for everyone.
Right. Thanks, Mark. Yeah, I think, I mean, we have a couple of BRMs here, business relationship managers, on this call, by the way, including myself. And we know that business is IT. So this distinction that might have been correct 20 years ago is really no longer the case. And if I may say that, actually, I think it was the Dutch who started to manage traffic on highways using ITIL processes, incident and problem management. And that was probably like 20, 25 years ago. But anyway, let's move on. And next one then is Suresh.
Yeah, for me, I think the most important part is that there's a lot of variations, including enterprise service management, business service management, that just tells you there is a whole lot of people who are trying to get the best practice. So I don't want to use this analogy, like the lean philosophy that actually came first from manufacturing. And you see that now being used in IT for value stream mapping and stuff like that. So if you understand the best practices of how things are working and you can apply, adapt and adopt, then every industry can gain benefits of it. So it's absolutely important to keep an eye open. So in addition to service culture, I wanted to focus on experience economy. All that we want in every industry is to give a seamless customer user experience. And that's what we are trying to do. Service management is the backbone of making that happen. But do not forget the objective of creating that experience.
All right. Okay. Thanks, Suresh. And let's hear from Dirk.
As I was thinking about if I want to say service management is only for IT to get some involvement here, but I don't have any argument for that. So I would like to add something new. And one of my customers with 140 people in IT, he's using FITSM for IT service management. And we had several workshops with people from HR, from legal. And they were really delighted about all the things the IT has developed over the last 40 years. So I think 10 years ago, maybe some businessmen would have said, okay, no, IT, just get your stuff done. I will get my stuff done with my way. But I think if you explain all the things behind IT service management, it can be used as service management. And in fact, the customer I spoke from is using services, is preparing services with IT service management processes for HR and for legal parts.
Okay, thanks, Dirk. And let's hear from Ian.
Thanks, Stefan. Very good question. And I think I'm going to echo everybody else's sentiments with regards to, is it just for IT? Absolutely not. I think it's actually been happening for many, many years in other industries outside of IT. And without doubt, you know, to echo Suresh specifically, the whole customer experience is what service management is about, you know, generally. So there are many frameworks and methods out there that could be, you know, leveraged to assist with that. But I think that is, you know, the main goal. It's certainly to finalize, definitely not for IT only.
Okay, thanks, Ian. Johan, last in the round. Disagreement, agreement?
Agree with everything that's been said. I just want to add something. Don't think it's only for services. If you deliver a product, all of these principles applies in any case.
All right, good point. Thank you. Yeah, thanks for the live question, Christina. Hopefully you got, I mean, you got a broad view now from our panel here. So, so Chitra, do we have another live question? Okay, I give the panel a moment to think about that live question, but I think the order of answers will come from Suresh, Johan, Mart.
That's a great question, Boslaw. I can just narrate from my own personal experience. In 2010, I was a project manager, right? The way you do project management is very focused on deliverables. You have some clear roles and responsibilities all established. That's all great. But welcome to the world if you're going to step into service delivery manager. You're going to just pull your ears all over the place, right? I'm just going to be absolutely honest because there's so much moving parts that you need to juggle around. So the service delivery management experience is something not for the faint-hearted. So you need to be really clear about whether it's worth the pursuit of being a service delivery manager. The first thing that I want you to think about not doing is you just need to be accommodative towards handling people. If you're not a big lover of people, then service delivery manager is not for you, right? Because you're going to see different personalities with different emotions that is going to come across. All your process will not work. So I want you to be focused on the human aspects of it. The second one that I would want you to think about service delivery management is focus on metrics. your deliverables is not just about keeping the lights on or delivering the project. It's also about providing the business value. So you're going to be in the hot seat. So beware of what kind of seat are you going to look at when you're going as a service delivery manager. You will be always on the limelight, either for good or bad reasons.
Thanks, Suresh. Johan, your view, please.
Yeah, I think the difficult thing in that shift is that you're used to working according to a plan. But if you've done project management for a long time, you realize that the plans don't work out in any case. So really focus on what people are saying to you, what they want, what their pains are. You have to be a good listener. You have to be a problem solver. It's not about, you know, following the plan. And I think that's a very difficult shift.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Now it's interesting to hear that nobody's really listing the bad habits, but talking about the good habits and what's needed. So thanks for that, Johan. And we hear next from Mart.
Well, one distinct difference is that projects have a start and an end. So as a project manager, you may have gotten used to the fact as in, oh, if I deal with a certain number of people that I'm not too thrilled about, eventually that will go away because the project will be done. With a service mindset, that's totally different. There's no start and end, well, end of service lifecycle, but usually you talk about years, if not longer, as in multiple years. So in other words, build that relationship. Nurture that relationship with your customers. In other words, mature that and get to know them inside out. Like Dirk was earlier saying, be out there. And because you're looking at lifelong relationships sometimes. So that's a whole different mindset than, when there's a start and end from a project perspective.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Mart. And let's then finally hear from Ian.
Thank you. Interestingly enough, I had a meeting last Friday with a client asking for some coaching on SDM. And my first question was, what do you define as service delivery manager? Because having seen that term bandied around for a few years, it has different meanings to different people. So I think, first of all, before you start to look at the ways of work, make sure you're clear on what the definition of service delivery manager is, because there are various differences of opinion out there. And I wouldn't say there were bad habits for project managers, they're just ways of work. So they're going to change, in short, quite drastically.
Thanks. Thanks, Ian. Thanks, panel. And to our live viewers, I promised you that your questions will find your way into this panel immediately. And so the same happens to the next question, which comes from one of our live viewers. Suchitra, please. Well, this can be very generic. I think I saw Dirk first and then Suresh.
Yes, yes. There may be different understanding of this question. My understanding is, or my advice would be, just to think about, do you want to do your job better or faster? Because I think new technologies, and artificial intelligence is a new technology, often leads to do things faster. To my point of view, and regarding my work with artificial intelligence, I'm using it to do my job better, to deliver better results, to grow the quality of my work. So this is my advice. Think about doing your job better. Use AI to do your job better.
All right, thanks. Good advice, Dirk. And then let's hear from Suresh.
Yeah, so for me, I think it's important to understand we move from reactive, which was an incident management, to proactive, which was your event correlation, your problem management, to predictive service management. So artificial intelligence is going to be a very critical component of predictive service management. A lot of our customers are asking, can you predict incidents before they happen? That's the sweet spot, right? So another part is once it you identify some of the repeated incidents, how can you ensure that we are able to remediate it in a manner that you don't need to look at the incident again? So I think auto-remediation and self-healing are opportunities for us to prevent that incident from happening. So if there is one area that I want you to focus from my personal experience of dealing with a lot of clients globally, is the world of AI ops. How does artificial intelligence helps IT operations staff? So look at L1, L2, L3 support. How can you make their life a lot more easier so that you can focus on the most important actions rather than just looking at simple incidents day in and day out?
Okay, thanks, Suresh. And let's hear from Ayo.
Just like Suresh said, it's going to help you deliver some enhanced services. For instance, when you look at things around service requests, these days you discover that artificial intelligence would actually help you to predict some services which you may be interested in. And similarly, we find this on other products like Google and some Microsoft stuff or Apple stuff. So again, it's a welcome solution that is going to enhance our service management processes in terms of service requests and some other solutions, so to say.
Okay, thanks, Ayo. And we hear last from Mart.
So for me, artificial intelligence is about the automation of analytical tasks. And, you know, there's always two main challenges for service management or anybody working in that space. You know, what's the challenge that we're facing, the problem that customers have, and what are the best solutions? So if you think very generically, you know, whatever we can do to be better at, like Derek was saying earlier, when it's about what's the challenge, what's the problem or the opportunity, and what are the solutions, to seek automation in those areas, then you can apply it in many areas, AI.
Oh, yeah, okay. And we will see, when we're talking about AI as we know it today, it might look even different in 5 years from now. We all know this. And because then it's time to raise that question again, I think. So for now, we move on with the next question, please. So, Suchitra. Good point. If you're in recruiting, what type of competence or proven competence do we need? And I can see that the panel is thinking and Johan has finished his thinking. So Johan, you are first and then followed by Ian and Suresh.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about capabilities. I'm not going to talk about certification. We've already that service managers are people. Yeah, they should be people with a high emotionally intelligence quotient. They must be good listeners. But I think for me, the thing that makes a service manager a good service manager is that they're a problem solver. And the good news is that you can learn how to solve problems because it's a process that you follow. So you know, get over this idea that, you know, I'm not good at solving problems. You just have to learn how to do it.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Johan. And next then is Ian.
Thanks, Stefan. Good question, Rajesh. It says there specifically you're looking for an ITSM consultant or organizations. So, you know, from a consultant perspective, one thing I've certainly seen is you need to find someone who's kind of been through the trenches and got the scars and the experience with regards to service management. I've seen way too many people come out of classrooms with all these certifications, you know, going back to what Johan said, and they, you know, they do more damage in some instances. So I think, you know, experience counts more than anything, and a natural leaning towards people and customer service certainly helps as well.
Thanks, Ian. I might slightly disagree on certifications because we've seen different outcomes there. For some people, it's very important to prove their competence. Probably it depends on later on in the career. That's another topic. I would like to hear next from Suresh.
Yeah, so I think when you are looking at certifications, I think there are various certification titles for certifications that are available. There is VariousIM, there is FITSIM. There's a lot more things of certifications. So, but I want you to think about certifications are a good starting point. You understand the concepts, but if you don't apply that into practice, you will forget what you learned in whatever certification that you gain. So in terms of capability, I want to focus on three capabilities that is very important when you're talking about us being a service management consultant. First, spend enough amount of time in IT operations. You know, you don't get a lot of time to do on strategy and design. You have to go to the floor and find out what's happening on the floor because there's so much problems there. First, you have to douse the fire before you can start stepping up the game. So the first one is you should be a lover of being in operations. As like Johan said, you should be a good problem solver. A lot of these problems is not process-centric. It's about human-centric. You know, how do you handle emotions? You should be very good in escalation management. I managed 10 years of operation. There was not even a single day which went without escalations. So you should love escalations because you can turn around things. And the third most important capability is about telling people that I don't have all the answers. There are smart people around there. I'm willing to learn from them because invariably they know a lot of stuff that you don't know. So these are my three focus on capabilities.
Okay, thanks, Suresh. And we hear next from Dirk.
Just one addition to all the things the other panelists said. So experience is really good and know something about dealing with problems. And I think you should look, or you may look about some career changes. So if they practice dealing with customers in other companies with other surroundings, I think that they will learn, will have learned something. And I made good experience with people who change from restaurants to service management, all the things like that. So career changes may be a good opportunity to have them as an IT service management consultant. So you can get certifications after experience.
Hmm. Okay, thanks, Dirk. And we hear next from Ayur.
Great, fantastic. Everyone has spoken well. Well, I think we need to revive our ITSM, our IT Service Management Forum. And it's a great learning platform because someone like myself benefited a lot from this. We had numerous of veterans of service management addressing key topics, key processes that are relevant to day-to-day activities, so to say. However, it would be nice to have us bring back the IT Service Management Forum to most countries that have got them before, and of course, enabling all the countries to do the same likewise.
Okay. Thanks, Ayo. And last to hear from Ms. Mart today.
What I've been looking for is this person that I'm about to bring into my organization a leader. I'm looking for leadership skills because this person is supposed to going to help, let's say, people owning processes, owning services, who also are supposed to be leaders, who also are going to be responsible to change my culture in my organization from reactive to proactive, make it more efficient, more effective. Those are all things that you know, you would expect from somebody who is a leader and has leadership skills and leadership experience. The other thing I would look for is, does the person know my line of business, the market, the industry? In other words, can this person think in terms of, you know, what my customers might be needing from a service perspective? So somebody with that business perspective, something else I would be looking for.
All right. Okay. Thanks. Yeah. So in general, Rayesh, you can say, so it's not about the certifications alone. It's about the experience. I know that at least two ITSMF chapters, UK and Germany, are looking for a practitioner model where they assess people's knowledge rather than just the book knowledge that they have in their certifications. So maybe that's something to look for as well. So Chitra, may we have the next questions? It sounds like we're now coming really down to operations here, and somebody said that before. So get on the floor. Suresh, why don't you kick us off with this one, and then followed by Ian and Johan.
Well, I love Nick's question. I don't know whether he put this specifically in place. Now, I think this is a very important question that Nick asked into this panel, because most of the time, I think we follow the process, which is all written down very clearly. We have that the clear escalation matrix. Everything works perfect. But when you know that we are in a crisis, I think there is something called what I call a situational leadership. When you say situational leadership is how do you act and react to a situation? The most important part is putting ourselves into the shoes of your customer or the end user, because we need to look at and tell openly. Being authentic is so important. And telling them that we are into this, but we need help. Asking for help is another important part of it. Because as a leader, you are vulnerable, right? And asking them that we need some support, we need some help to analyze and do that. And the last but not the least is trying to take time off from the bridge and having some quiet time. Because a lot of times when you are in a pressure situation, is to isolate yourself from the incident, take off, and this just makes some time to think and contemplate of what is something to be done. And you will be amazed when you dissociate yourself in the actual life incident, go back and then reflect, you will have some great ideas, which has proven to be very useful for me in some of this crisis situation.
Okay, thanks for a couple of tips already, Suresh, for that. And we hear next from Ian.
Yeah, this is a good question, Nick. Again, I'm just going to answer from bitter experience, usually from the receiving end, that you need to get somebody to take responsibility for this incident, if you want to call it that, and ensure that, you know, collaboration is occurring and people are being updated and tasks are happening. But I think over and above everything is communication. I don't think you can over-communicate in a crisis situation. So being extremely frequent with comms, even assigning someone the responsibility to communicate on behalf of the team that's trying to work on this issue is a big tip from my side. You know, it's missing in many instances from my experience.
Okay. Thanks for that, Ian. And Johan, what's your view?
There's not a lot that I can add, except for maybe the fact that we need to be very honest about what we see and communicate and experience. Don't hide stuff. It's not doing anybody a favor.
Yeah,
I think I'll stick to that.
Yeah, no, I agree. And by the way, Johan is known for short answers and things. Short and precise. thank you for that. And I think we have time for one or two more questions. So, let's do that. Or Mart, you want to add something to that one?
Just be open and be honest. Indeed. And ask questions. Make this a collaborative effort, not as in you telling what to do. Ask, listen. That's all.
All right. Okay. Good. So a couple of tips, Nick, for you, the panel has provided. And we move on to the next question. I think we have time for one or two more questions. Now, that's a good one. Now, guys, now you have to tell where you're coming from. And I think it was, again, Suresh raised his hand first, followed by Dirk, and then Ian.
Right. So I started my career in IT software development. I was a Java JDBC programmer, spent about four and a half years. But I know that my heart was not into it, right? In 2005, I was introduced to ITIL that time it was version 2, and then became ITIL 2 master. So I landed up in ITIL and service management by accident. Oh boy, I just loved it, right? Once you get exposed to that, you just think. So for me, it was very curious to look at all those processes and stuff that happened. And for me, it's most important that you need to play with your strength. For me, I think when you play with your strength, that is handling people and emotions and looking at customer experience and business, you will just love it. So it was not by design. it was not by choice. So, but I grabbed it, and after that, it was nothing looking back. So for me personally, service management has helped me to be a good person professionally and has helped me to build my company. And I'm so grateful to the ITSMF over the years, and also to the community which has helped me to grow it. So such a great community and such a great profession.
All right. Thanks for sharing your insights, Suresh, and let's hear from Dirk.
Yes, I think 35 years ago, I ended my studying Master of Business Administration. So I started as a consultant, as a project leader for implementing software for data warehouse, for cost accounting and something like that. And then I moved over to a smaller company. The smaller company hired me as a consultant for cost accounting, but they asked me, I think several months after my start there, so we are a service provider, won't you help us inside? So I transitioned to service management from a totally different part, but Suresh said, I think I got some personal capabilities and turned them into good professional capabilities. So that was my way. It happened by incident.
By incident, okay. great, thanks, Dirk. And let's hear next from Ian.
Thanks, Stefan. Mine is also, I didn't transition into it. I was introduced to it by a savior. At the time, I was working at an insurance company in the mid-90s. I was ordering trying to find a printer or something, and this guy came and put some books on my desk, and I started reading these books, and I got hooked totally. You know, it made so much sense to me, the philosophy, the industry, and the messages, you know, the ways that service management kind of people look at the world and situations, you know, is not better, just different. And I got introduced to it. Somebody literally gave me some information to read. I loved it. And then the rest, I just went on that path, you know, joining various companies who practice service management. So yeah, it's a heck of an industry, and it's a really, you know, wonderful industry as well.
Yeah, and evolving. Thanks, Ian.
All the time.
And yeah, and Ayo, what's your way to service management?
My way to service management started two decades ago while I was a Microsoft certified trainer, working in a local IT training firm in Nigeria. Of course, there were opportunities to delve into service management based on my Microsoft engagement. That was how the journey started into ITIL. And the journey cannot be complete without a perfect gentleman on this call as well, who's going to be speaking at me. So, of course, it was a fantastic journey, learning from someone on this call as well, a panelist, and it is just what it is.
It is what it is, okay. Thanks, Ayo. And Johan, your way into service management.
Yeah, I was operations director for a IT outsource company. And I was looking for a solution. Once again, I actually had a customer that introduced me and said, yeah, you know why you're battling so much is because you don't do this stuff. Go and read up on it.
Asking your customer, it's good advice.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Johan. And finally, Marit.
I was running a data center that included a customer support center in the late 80s. And the guy in charge of the customer support team, he found these a few books. And he showed me those books as in, hey, do we have the budget to buy those? Because they look quite interesting. And I looked at them and I said, yeah, absolutely. Let's do this. Why not, right? Let's learn from what they have to offer. It seems like some information-rich books that happened to be out there all of a sudden. Little did we know then that we were looking at the ITIL books in the very first release. That's how I got introduced.
Yeah. So I think almost everybody has more or less transitioned into this. By the way, like myself, when I started my career at IBM, and there was nothing, and you couldn't even study that. And then somebody put a bunch of books on my table and said, why don't you read there when you want to eliminate the chaos in IT operations? There might be something useful in it for you. So I did. And yeah, so for me, myself, I was transitioning into this as well. So I think, Mike, now you got the view on and the insights from all the panel. And for us, it's time to go to the closing remarks. That was all very well done. Thank you for all the questions today. It was a great job that you've done. And watch out for your name in the credits if your question was selected. And we had a few that came in from our live viewers. We now start in reverse order for the closing remarks. Dirk, may I start with you, please?
Yes, like always, I want to thank APMG. I want to thank you, say thank you to you, to Stefan, to Nick for the great question. And I love the exchange with all the guys. I love the exchange with all the panelists and all the questions. And as always, I learned something today again, and it was a well invested time for me. Thank you, and go on.
Thanks, Dirk. Yeah, we will go on. This is episode 229, and there will be more than that, probably. But thanks. Yeah, same for me. I learned something today as well. Mart, why don't you share your closing remarks? Probably with a quote.
Definitely with a quote, indeed. But I want to thank the live audience for the great question. And Suchitra, thank you for selecting those and putting those in front of us. Made it a really mix of a variety of topics. Yes, indeed, a quote. Customers may forget what you said, but they'll never forget how you made them feel.
Yeah, I agree. That was Aya Daly. No, what was the name? It's an American human activist. I know that.
Yeah.
That quote came from. All right. Thanks, Mart. Thanks for the... You're not running out of quotes. Okay, Suresh, your closing remarks, please.
So for me, I think it's important for you to understand that service management is a great profession to be in, whether it is by design or by choice. Just grab every moment and be a part of the community. ITSMF is one such thing. So if you are into service management, do not hesitate to show up in ITSMF forums and conversations, because some of the greatest conversation happens over coffee or beer.
Yeah.
So please make sure that you are in thick and thin of people. It's all about people at the end of the day.
Yeah, and that absolutely. And I'm myself very engaged in ITSMF, and I can only appreciate your statement here. Thanks, Suresh. And also thanks for being on the show today. Ian, what's your first time? What's your closing remarks?
I'm also going to do a quote, Mart, if that's okay. I know you're the master quotesman around here, but yeah, thanks to the audience and the fellow panelists. I also, you know, learned a lot today, as always. And I think that's brings me nicely onto the quote that I want to make. And it's a favorite of mine, which is knowledge wants to speak, wisdom wants to listen. So I think that's probably a apt little thing to remember as we head off into the week.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Ian. And we hear from Johan, closing remarks.
Yes, thanks again for inviting me and being able to share. I'm going to plagiarize it for you. Peter Drucker said that the purpose of an organization is to make customers. I want to say the purpose of a service manager is to keep customers.
All right, good.
Yeah,
good quote. This is a session full of quotes today. How great is that? Yeah, thanks, Johan. And Ayo, was the first time for you as well. I hope you enjoyed it. What's your closing remark?
I'd like to thank all the audience that have joined us today. I'd like to thank the panelists. I'll also appreciate APMG for giving us a platform to transfer knowledge to the world. My closing remark for today would be, service management is just there to move the world forward. So service management moves the world forward.
Okay, good. So we, wow, all these quotes. Thank you, panel. Well done, everyone. Suchitra, I think you enjoyed this today as well. Thank you. Like Mart said already, thank you for picking the questions, bringing them live to us when they came from live viewers. All right, yeah, thank you. And by the way, over on our website, you can now find answers to, well, with 229, almost 230 shows, more than 2,500 questions. We don't throw them away. We don't throw the answers away. They are on our website. It's a free resource and connects you with experts from around the world. And you can also listen to the audio versions of the shows on your preferred podcast platform. So while you're driving or doing anything where it requires your attention, you will always have a chance to listen to APMG's Level Up. Coming up this Friday at 2 p.m. UK time, we are looking at the realm of inclusive workplaces with our upcoming episode, guiding you through the crucial steps to cultivate a culture of inclusivity. And on Monday, the 11th March at 8 a.m. UK, we will talk about how to get hired and to build your career in 2024. Don't forget to head over to our YouTube channel and give this video a like and subscribe. It will help others to find this free resource. Just ask us and we will send you a personal summary of what's coming up and how you can join us here yourself on the panel and level up your career with APMG. Thanks, everyone, and see you next time. Bye-bye.